Father, I just thank you for an opportunity to come before your people this day, Father, and I just ask, God, that you speak. Father, I am the mouthpiece, God, but it's you, it's your word, it's all about you, and I just ask, God, that you just allow the words to come forth, that you would have to come forth upon your people, Father, and just allow it to grow into fruit that will ultimately glorify you, Father, and this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I sing that song, The Heart of Worship. I want to talk to you today about a lifestyle of worship, living out of relationship. You know, worship is showing reverence and adoration. And many times as believers, when we think about worship, we think about when we come together corporately and we sing and we lift up holy hands in a sanctuary and we bless Him and we give of ourselves. And worship is not, I want to go beyond that. It's not just something we do, but it's who we are. Lifestyle is a way of living, and we were created to worship every day in every situation, showing reverence and adoration to our Heavenly Father. You know, I've heard it said many times that worship is becoming like Him. But I've grown to understand that worship is being like Him. You know, in the beginning, it speaks of God creating the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis 1:24, it talks about God commanded the earth to bring forth the living creature after His kind, the cattle, the creeping things, the beasts of the earth after His kind. And it was so. And you know, God did the same thing when He created man. He too reproduced after His own kind because He created man in His image. After forming Adam from the dust or the dirt of the earth, He then breathed the breath of life into Adam, and then he became a living being. Well, what was the breath of life? It was God. It was Himself. So he reproduced after His own kind. So when we are living out of relationship with the Father, we are exhibiting the true nature and image of Him in our lives. You know, sometimes we've sang the song, Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. When we are living out of relationship with the Father, we seek to see Him in every situation, every single day, everything that we go through. We're looking for Him. The Word of God tells us that we should not look at the things that are seen. You know, if we look at our situation, even sometimes in our homes and on our jobs and in politics, in the world, everywhere, if we just look at what we see, sometimes it's total devastation. It looks totally chaotic. But the Word tells us don't focus on the things that are seen, but look at the things, focus on the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are just temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we look for Him who is unseen because He is a spirit, but we know that He is eternal. And that's why we look for Him in every situation. When we seek Him, we'll find Him. And when we see Him, we'll be just like Him. We will be able then to be just like Him in the situation that we are in. When we look at the scripture of Jesus when He met the woman at the well of Samaria, and He spoke to her and He said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He said, God is a spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we are living that lifestyle of worship, living out of relationship, we are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That's what worshiping Him in truth means. It means worshiping Him out of our relationship and our knowledge of Him. Now, in order for us to live a lifestyle of worship and live out of relationship with the Father, we must know who we are. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the Word of God tells us in the Word who He is. I just want who we are, but I just want to share a couple of scriptures with you. The first one is 2 Peter, the second chapter, and the 9th verse tells us, but you are a chosen generation. Thank you, Jesus. A royal priesthood. Thank you, Jesus. A holy nation. Thank you, Jesus. A peculiar people. thank you, Jesus, that ye should show forth the praises of he who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 2 Corinthians, another scripture, chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. We're living out of the newness of the inner man that is within us. Verse 21 says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who are we? We are the righteousness of God. And that is why we can worship him through relationship with him. Romans 8 and 14, I want to share that scripture. I want to share this scripture out of the Amplified Version. Romans 8, starting at verse 14, it says, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. Verse 17, and if we are his children, then we are heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance. If indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. Living out of relationship with the Father is simply being spirit-led. Every day we ask God for discernment. God, just show me what you want me to do. You already know everything I'm going to encounter today. Just allow me to have that spiritual discernment to be able to do and to be what you have called us to be. When we intentionally choose to live out of relationship with the Spirit of God, we walk in his divine order. God directs and orders our steps in his perfect timing. We can rest in the sovereignty of God when we're living out of relationship. Because every situation and circumstance that we are forced with, God has already determined the outcome. We are more than conquerors. That's what the word says. And when we are living out of relationship with our Heavenly Father, the outcome of everything that we encounter in our lives is working for our good and for his glory. Hallelujah. I've shared this before, and you know, everyone pretty much knows that I'm a teacher by profession. And at school, we have what we call a behavior discipline formula. It's E plus R equals O. It's like a little algorithm. E stands for events, the R stands for response, and the O stands for outcome. And what we teach our children is that the events that happen in our lives, we cannot control. They just happen. That's life. But the R, the response, how we respond to those events, we can control. And it's how we respond that determines what the outcome will be for us. So that's a life skill. We cannot control what happens in the earth. God's, his word tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. There's nothing we can do to keep life from happening. It's going to happen. But the R, what is our response to the events that happen in our lives? Because the response is what's going to dictate or determine our outcome in that situation. God tells us in all things, everything. What does he say? His word says, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us. That's what he says, in all things. Now, it doesn't say for all things, because some things that we encounter are just not good. Doesn't sound good, doesn't feel good, doesn't look good. So you mean, God, I'm supposed to thank you when I'm broke and I lost my job and I don't have, and I'm sick, and am I supposed to thank you because I'm sick? It doesn't say for all things, it says in all things. right in the midst of where we are. When we praise and thank God, He is getting glory. God, I thank you that I may have gotten a negative doctor's report, but I thank you, God, because I know that you're still on the throne. You're in control. You're my sovereign God, and your word tells me that I'm more than a conqueror, so I've already overcome. I'm thanking you, God, that regardless of what my bank account looks like, your word tells me that you will supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And I'm thanking you, God, for just being God. So that's what we do in every situation. And trust me, when we open up our mouths and begin to thank God right in the midst of utter chaos, it changes us. It doesn't, you know, our praise, and I've said this before, because I've been a worship leader for a little over 25 years, and I say this a lot, you know, our praise, God does not need our praise. He desires that we praise Him. But whether or not we praise God doesn't change who He is. He's still God. But when we praise Him, our praise to Him is for us. It places us in a better position. It gives us a greater outlook. We can then see those things that are unseen, things that are eternal. It takes our focus off of our immediate surroundings and the things that we are going through, and it puts us in a place where we can be raised above whatever that situation is that we are going through, and we will ultimately have a great outcome. Hallelujah. I want to share another scripture with. Before I do that, I want to share something, a part of my testimony. In a 9-month span of my life, the year of 2004, it was just, I look at that and I'm like, wow, you know, God was really God. And He really is perfected in my weakness. But I had a fire in my home. My 13-year-old son was undergoing radiation for a brain tumor. I lost my only sister to cancer. It just seemed like a year that was just, in a span of 9 months, all of this came. And, you know, it's in times like that that it's like, really, God? You know, I'm supposed to praise you. I'm supposed to thank you. But for me, I can remember, I was raised up in an apostolic faith church, and it was, they had very religious, strict teachings back then. But a lot of times they would bring in different evangelists and prophets that would come in and run these week or 2 week long revivals. And I can remember at 16 years old, and I was playing the piano. I was in church all the time because my father was the pastor, but I can remember this particular word that I received, and the word was, it came as a 16-year-old girl, I'm being told, you know what, you're going to go through some devastating things in your life, but your praise is going to be your weapon in all things. As a 16-year-old kid, I'm being told that. But you know what, that word has stayed with me throughout. I will be 57 years old in February, and I still remember that word. And that word has been what has kept me when I felt like I was the lowest I could ever be without being in the grave. That word has kept me, and He's kept me in a place where even in my weakest point, I could cry out and say, God, I still thank you because I know you're God. I have to bury my only biological sister, but I know you're God. You're still God. My son is being treated for a brain tumor. I have to get up every morning and take him to have his radiation treatments and then take him to school. And at that particular time, I was a single mom, so I had three other kids as well. So I'm going through this. I have a fire in my home, and it's like, but God, that is the scripture that talks about His strength is perfected in our weakness. At my weakest point, His strength still allowed me to say, God, I still thank you. I still thank you. Why? Because you're God. Because you're still in control. Because when I come out of this thing, I'm trying to look at the unseen. When I come out of this thing, it's going to be good. It's going to be good for me, and it's going to be working. You will get the glory as well. I want to share this scripture from, this is also from the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Him. When we are living a lifestyle of worship and living out of relationship with Him, we are that sweet aroma. We are that fragrance that brightens up, that light that brightens up the environment of wherever we are. Religion teaches us that what we do outwardly for the Lord is worship. Well, you know, every time the church doors is open, I'm in the church. I'm working in the church. I'm doing this. And I am not saying don't work in the church. That is not what I'm saying. Because we know what we are led to do by the Spirit of God is what we do. But it's not always we have to dress a certain way. We have to look godly. We can't do the things that the world does. We have to make sure that anytime we're talking, we have to make sure we throw a scripture in there somewhere. You know, when we're blessing the food, we throw 15 scriptures in to say, Lord, thank you for this food. I mean, all of this outward things, that's what the religion will tell us. But the Word of God tells us in Romans to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God as we come to know Him. Living out of relationship with Him, our minds are being renewed. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds in accordance to the knowledge of Him. True worship is being who we were created to be, and not what society or religion dictates that we are supposed to be. It's not always about being busy doing. It's about being obedient to the Lord. The reality is that when God leads us to do something and we're activating in that, it's not us doing it anyway. It's Him doing it. He's just using us to perform it. But it's all about Him. And that's what worship is, and living out of relationship with God. There are times in our lives when, yes, situations happen that require a lot of our attention. But the best way we can attend to these situations is being spirit-led in all things. God, what do you want me to do in this thing? I've heard it being said, you know, something comes up, let's learn how to run to the throne before we run to the phone. Because a lot of times we run to the phone and we call somebody and they hardly able to work out their own situation, and we're expecting them to speak to us. Now, don't get me wrong. When we go to God, because this has happened with me before, when we go to God, sometimes He will bring somebody before us. Sometimes He will place someone before us that we go to, but He's already given that person the word for us. We're just acting in obedience and going and connecting with that person so we can get it. But we have to learn how to first in all things just be spirit-led. Allow Him, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? The Word of God tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. This little pea brain thing between our ears that we think we have a lot of knowledge of. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. God is faithful. God is faithful. This is a lifestyle of worship. Our hope should not be in things of the earth. Our only hope is in trusting God in all things. We are right now in the Christmas season. I want to share a little article that came into my inbox a few days ago about the Christmas season. We're right in the midst of that. It says, we are told that Christmas for Christians should be the happiest time of year, an opportunity to be joyful and grateful with family and friends and colleagues. Yet, according to the National Institute of Health, Christmas is the time of year that people experience the highest incidence of depression. Hospitals and police forces report the highest incidences of suicide and attempted suicides. Psychiatrists, psychologists, and other mental health professionals report a significant increase in patients complaining about depression. One North American survey reported that 45% of respondents to the survey about Christmas, the Christmas season, dreaded the festive season. And then it says, why is this? It gives us 6 reasons. I'll read it to you. First of all, number one, the decreased daylight hours. Okay. Number two, increased pressure to purchase. Number three, loneliness without family. Number four, loneliness within dysfunctional families. Number five, sadness in the past year's remembrance. And number six, worry in the new year's anticipation. You know, depression is real. There is a growing concern about mental health worldwide. What does the word tell us? God's word tells us that He will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on Him, because we trust Him. In order to keep our minds stayed on Him, we must, this is what God gave me personally, I'm going to share this with you because I wrote it down. In order to keep our minds stayed on Him, we must intentionally, immediately, and consistently replace any negative thoughts with the Word of God. Call those things that are not, Clyde, as though they were. I told Clyde a couple months ago, I think it was, I said, I can't even think about that scripture without seeing Clyde's face come before me, that big Holy Ghost grin. Calling those things that are not as though they were. Replace whatever thought that is, however many times it comes, that negative thought, replace it with the word. Just give that. God, I thank you. Yes, this is how it is, but I thank you because you're still in control. Replace those negative thoughts with the word of God. Philippians 4 says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it tells us to make our requests known unto God. And when we do that, we have a promise. It says the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that we replace those negative thoughts with. Think on these things. One thing, the psalmist said, that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. I just want to dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold His beauty and to inquire in His tabernacle. For in the time of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. Thank you, Jesus. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, and He will set me upon a rock. Now shall my head be lifted high above mine enemies round about me, and therefore I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalms 91 speaks about He who dwelleth in that secret place. When we are walking and living a lifestyle of worship and being led, living out of relationship, we are dwelling in that secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Living out of relationship. Hallelujah. I want to share in my conclusion, there's a couple of things I just want to share with you. I received the word of the Lord probably about 6 months ago, maybe, that I just want to share with you. And this is what He told me. He said, release yourself from the past and move beyond all failures and triumphs. Your mission is to fulfill my plans and purposes for you here and now. And that will require your spiritual awareness. He said, stay present with me. Do not look too far ahead or brood over things in the past. Position yourself to be obedient to all that I ask. That's what living out of relationship with the Father is. Not focusing on what we did. That's a done deal. That was taken care of over 2,000 years ago. We should not allow those thoughts of what we did yesterday or what we said or what we did. So, well, you know, you can't, you're not living holy. No, it's done. Christ took care of that over 2,000 years ago. We don't dwell on the things. And the thing is when it was taken care of, it was before we actually ever did it. And the things that we will do have already been taken care of. We are the righteousness of God. When we live out of relationship with him, all we're doing, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. You know, for about the past, I don't know, few months, when I go grocery shopping, I'll just be walking in the grocery store, and God will just tell me, smile. It's just me. I'm just picking up whatever I'm getting. God just says, smile. You would be surprised. I'll just start smiling, and the next thing, oh, how you doing? I don't know these people from Adam. But they're saying, how you doing? You know, when you smile, it's like the universal language, yes? Because when we are smiling, when we are just obeying what God is telling us to do, people see him. We're being him. So this is the last thing that I want to share with you. And this was an article in a Daily Bread pamphlet. And it says, it was titled, When God Says No. He says, when I was conscripted into the military at age 8, as young Singaporean men are, I prayed desperately for an easy posting, a clerk or driver perhaps. Not being particularly strong, I hoped to be spared the rigors of combat training. But one evening as I read my Bible, one verse leaped off the page. My grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My heart dropped, but it shouldn't have. God had answered my prayer. Even if I received a difficult assignment, he would provide for me. So I ended up as an armored infantryman, doing things I didn't always enjoy doing. But looking back now, I'm grateful God didn't give me what I wanted. The training and experience toughened me physically and mentally and gave me confidence to enter adulthood. Sometimes it can be hard to hear God saying no, and even harder to understand when we're praying for something good, like someone's deliverance from a crisis. But that's when we need to hold on to the truth of God's good plans. We may not always understand why, but we can keep trusting in his love, his goodness, and his faithfulness. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite scriptures. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. A lifestyle of worship, living out of relationship. I have one more song that I'd like to do to close. I asked the guys if they could come and help me with it. Do you want me to turn this off? Oh, okay. Okay. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you, oh Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaims, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my heart, all of my praise, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Hallelujah. Lord, I offer you my life. Yes, Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Hallelujah. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Yes, God. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer you my life. It's all about you.